is Chaos Jay here. I talk movie for Popcorn Talk, and I'm here with Damian Power. We're talking Killing Ground. Let's get into it.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's I Talk Movie.
All right, let's let this breathe real quick. We've got Sunny Boys. What's the name of the song?
Alone With You Tonight.
Alone With You Tonight. Except for in the movie that we're going to talk about, they were not alone at all. Now, this is Damian Power, and he's got a movie that is getting ready to come out within the next week or two called Killing Ground. And it's going to be on IFC, right?
Independent Film Channel. Yeah, that's right. IFC Midnight, July 21st.
July 21st is going to be in theaters and video on demand. So, without further ado, let's go ahead and let's show the trailer so people kind of have an idea of what we're going to be talking about now.
Pulling it up right now.
Beautiful.
Pretty much how I remember it, except for the tent.
There's plenty of room. We can set up over here. Who's that, Ollie?
Boo.
Oh. Who do you think they are?
No idea. I'm sure they'll turn up soon enough.
Sure you don't want to come?
No, thanks.
Hello?
Check this out. This isn't right. What is it?
Car trouble.
Did I scare you?
Are you a ranger?
Go, 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 go. I'm a hunter.
Opportunities.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Killing Ground. And I've already seen the movie. And I got chills again. Like, that's how deep this movie goes. And it catches you off guard, but it also makes you think. And it said, you know, it's going to have you vowing never to go camping again. Hi.
Yeah.
I am not going camping for a long time. And if
Sorry.
I do, I'll probably be armed to the teeth. I mean, it was a great movie. So, for me, when I was watching this, I couldn't help but keep putting myself in the position of, what would I do if this were me?
Yeah.
And I know that was definitely your intention. Was there anything, as you were developing these characters, so you already know from beginning to end what's going to happen, was there anything that you personally would have done differently from the characters had it been you in that situation?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I mean, one of the reasons that I wrote the film was to just explore this idea of would I be able to protect my family if we were threatened? You know, movies tell us that I that I can, that we would, that somehow we would find that reserve of strength from somewhere. Right. We would do the right thing. And I think that in real life, maybe that's not necessarily the case. So that is definitely something that I was trying to explore with the film. What would I do in that same situation? I don't know.
Okay, I'll take that. And I can definitely agree, because that's definitely something I always think about. I have a little girl as well. And I always think, like, in this situation, what exactly would I do? Yeah. I know in my mind what I think I would do, but I also know that I have dreams where I'm moving in extreme slow motion, or like I'm throwing punches and they're just kind of landing like soft taps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this definitely touches on a lot of these different deep, you know, fears that we have. And another thing I liked is that, like you said, we think that, oh, you're just going to dig down and have this reserve of strength, but we don't necessarily see that instantly take hold in this movie. You see there's different situations where the reaction is really real. And that being that sometimes you freeze.
Yeah.
And you're thinking like, okay, what do I do? Like, you know you're supposed to do something. You know there's a sense of urgency with whatever decision you make, but you still don't know what the hell you're supposed to do. Like I said, it was a good movie. It definitely had my heart racing. Yeah. And, you know, I watched, you know, I started it at, you know, late at night, and then I finished it during the day, and even still during the day, I was still scared.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, guys, I'm telling you, that's what you want in a thriller. And not only that, but that's something that you want, that is going to make you think and put you in the position of the characters. Because yeah. I kept just thinking, like, would I have done it this way or would I have done it that way? So I loved that. For me, a question I have is, what's your favorite type of thriller? Now, look, I know you made this. Yeah. However, what is your favorite type, your personal type?
Yeah, look, I love thrillers. I mean, I think that, for me, they're kind of dramas with high stakes, you know, life and death stakes. And what I love about them is there's such a wide range. You know, there's everything at the horror end from Don't Breathe to the elevated literary end like Gone Girl, you know, right. And everything in between. And you can tell a story and take an audience on a ride that is really exhilarating. And still, you can be talking about things that mean something to their lives.
Right.
You
know, this got some relevance.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, people can come out of the film going, oh my God, that was just an intense experience. Or they can come out and they can be talking about men and women, about courage, about heroism, about, you know, all of those things. For me, I mean, my two favorite movies of all time are The Shining and Psycho.
Okay.
You know, both definitely kind of in that territory.
Right, right. Yeah. Definitely mind-bending thrillers. They definitely make you think about the psyche of a person. Not only that, but then I also find myself, you know, if the movie's done well enough, I wonder what happens after the credits.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about what happens after the credits.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to give too much away, but even with the way it ended, it, you know, I still kept thinking, okay, well, now what? I still have questions.
Yeah, that's great.
Questions that I want to ask you, but I'll have to wait until the end of the interview because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But it's, you know, it's that type of movie. So tell me this. What inspires you, not only as a filmmaker, but also what inspired this movie?
Yeah. I think this film is very much about my own fears, like my fears as a parent, my fears for my kids out in the world. Not only would I be able to protect them in some kind of circumstance of overwhelming violence like this, but, you know, I would like to protect them from every tiny little, you know, playground insult. And that's just not possible. Right. You know, they have to live their own lives. And so there's part of that feeling, I think, in the film, and was definitely a motivation in terms of writing it, was exploring that fear. I also made the kind of film that I like to watch, you know, a smart genre film, something that kind of, you know, gets you here, but then, like you said, also makes you think afterwards. And again, for me, it was all about trying to make it feel really real, so that you would ask What would I do in that situation? So all of those things kind of led into the story. But the very germ of the idea came from an image of an orange tent. It just kind of popped into my head. This tent in the woods all by itself, nobody around. And I started thinking, well, where are the people?
Right.
And I started thinking, well, what happened to the people? And then that suggested the antagonists. And then someone finds a tent. Who's that?
Right.
What's their story? And so that was kind of the way into it. Yeah.
And I love the way you did, you structured this with the parallel timeline, because at first I didn't realize that. As a viewer, I was just like, okay, well, I had those same initial questions seeing this tent that also made it into the film, not just from a concept, but it made it into the film. And seeing that, I was like, okay, well, where are those people? And I didn't realize at first that we're running two different timelines. So this is definitely a movie that you don't want to, you know, go and check a message on your phone or, you know, pop off a tweet or go and get popcorn. If you do and you're doing video on demand, you're going to need to pause this, because it's one of these movies that, as you know, you don't want to miss anything, because there's small subtleties that will later reveal something else bigger. When developing these characters, did you pull from anything, you know, friends or any people that you actually deal with on a day-to-day basis, or things that you've experienced when you develop these characters? Because I'll tell you this, German scares me. And there's not too many things that scare me, but that dude is a scary dude.
He is a scary dude. It's not based on any particular crime, although when I was writing it and researching it, I did read a lot of true crime, often about situations where there was more than one perpetrator and what the dynamic was between those guys and how it came to be that they committed that crime. And often, particularly when it's a crime of opportunity, it was just a bad combination of those two people on that day in that circumstance that led to the commission of that crime. So I guess I took some general inspiration from some pretty awful true crime.
That's an understatement, because you go into it, once we see the two main antagonists, we see German and is it Chuck?
Chuck, yeah.
Yeah, we see German and Chuck, and I started immediately thinking, okay, I know who's the more bad guy, you know, and who's the lesser, you know, the lesser of the two evils, and the tables get turned. So again, like I said, it's something that definitely keeps you on your toes. Influences. What are your favorite directors?
I just kind of name-checked The Shining and Psycho, and Kubrick and Hitchcock are definitely favorites. David Fincher, Michael Mann, Michael Haneke. Those guys make a lot of those films, thrillers. Yeah.
And again, you know, intelligent thrillers is not just, there's a reason behind it. It's just a matter of if you're going to figure out what the reason behind it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got another question. I've got a lot, actually.
Yeah.
So, this is your first full-length feature.
Yeah, that's right.
You've done several shorts. You've got Bad Eyes. You've got Boot. You've got A Burning Thing, which I want to watch that. Based just off of the synopsis of A Burning Thing, I'm like, are you serious? You've got Peekaboo.
Yeah.
So, now that you've done those, and now you've graduated to Killing Ground.
Yeah.
What's next?
So next I'm working on a couple of different features in the thriller space, I guess. Actually, one of them is based on Peekaboo. So Peekaboo was a short film that we made when we were in the process of financing Killing Ground. So at a certain point we felt that the script was ready. But, you know, the shorts that I had made at film school were nothing like Killing Ground.
Right.
And I really needed something that showed that I could direct some action, some suspense, some violence. And so I talked to my producer, Joe Weatherston, and we both our kids were quite little then. And she said to me, what about the idea of a woman that loses her kid? And I said, that's terrifying. Leave it with me. And so...
Like, I've got it from
here. Yeah, that's right.
I've got this. Stop here. Yeah. Say no more.
Yeah, I can... It's too easy to imagine. And because, I don't know, like, as a parent, I'm, you know, you've all experienced that moment of losing sight of your kid in the park just for...
Just a minute.
Yeah, a minute can seem like a lifetime.
It can.
Yeah. And so I came up with the idea for this story about a woman who loses her kid in a car park and thinks that her daughter has been abducted. And so that film did really well for us. You know, it did what it needed to do. So right. it played at a lot of festivals. It was instrumental in getting us in front of Films Distribution, who became our international sales agent. And I guess was that kind of proof of concept that people could see that I could do that,
right.
do that thing. And so one of the things that I'm developing now actually is a feature based on that short, an abduction thriller.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Definitely going to be on the lookout for that. So as you were developing this story, to jump back to, you know, German and Chuck, as you were developing this story and you were coming up on different scenarios of things that you were going to have them do to these characters, at what point did you have moments where you're like, no, I can't do that. That's too extreme. And then you're like, no, screw it. Write it in there. Like, did you have any moments where you pulled back? Or did you just say, no, screw it. Like, I'm going for it. Because there's as a viewer, as a watcher, I'm watching and I'm thinking there's moments where I'm like, oh, what if they do this? And I'm like, no, they're not going to do that. That's a little too crazy. And then it happens. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm jumping and I'm knocking stuff over. Because I'm like, oh, did he really just? And yes, he did. So I know how it felt for me watching it. How was it for you writing that and deciding that you were going to push this envelope or push that envelope and take it to...
Yeah, well, you have to go to some dark places to write those characters. And... but for me, a lot of the worst violence happens off screen, so it's kind of left to the viewer's imagination.
It is, because there's some just shots, some images that I'm just like, oh wow, what happened? Yeah. I'm just based on the you know, just how the characters are laid out in that particular area. I'm like, okay, what happened? And then my mind's going a million different places.
Yeah, and you know what? You're probably thinking something worse than I could have shown.
This is true.
Yeah. So, I wanted to be really careful about how I treated the violence, because I wanted it to feel, like the rest of the film, really real and really plausible. And for me, they don't do anything that I think those characters wouldn't do.
Right.
Frighteningly, you know.
Right.
But for me, it was about being careful about what to show, you know, how much is too much.
Right.
So that was kind of my approach to that. In terms of the writing of it, when I started writing, my wife Rachel and I, we didn't have any kids. By the time I stepped out onto set, I had two kids, and we had become a family that goes camping. So I felt like a different person, you know? And there was a point where before we shot it and after we'd gotten the funding, and so we knew we were going to make the film, where I sort of had to take a deep breath and go, okay.
I'm going to do this.
I wrote this, you know. Now I'm going to make it. So those are two different things, you know.
Right. Oh, definitely. Yeah. So did you clue your wife in to like, okay, this is what we're doing? Or did you kind of wait until it was done and say, here you go?
She was my script editor.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So
she knew. She knew. She was, you know, she's a creative muse, so she knew what we were doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Hey, that's great. I like that. I like that teamwork makes the dream work.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know what you're doing next. What is your long-term goal as a director? and I know that you've done some acting. Do you plan on getting back, putting that hat back on at some point?
No, my only acting gigs, which and there's one that appears on IMDb that's not me that I've been trying to get taken off for forever. But my only acting gigs were for friends at film school.
Okay.
So it's hilarious. I played a toll booth operator for one friend and a dad in another film by Sean Byrne, who directed The Loved Ones and Devil's Candy.
Okay.
So that's the sum total of my acting career, and that's probably where it's going to stay.
Okay, all yeah. right.
In terms of kind of, you know, career goals, I had a full-time job when I made Killing Ground. So all the
That's tough.
Yeah, it was tough. But now, sort of post Sundance and the opportunities that have come about because of the film, I've been able to quit the day job and focus on filmmaking. So,
which yeah. is always great.
Yeah.
It's always fun when you get to do what you want. It's still work, but it doesn't necessarily feel like it.
No,
you enjoy
it's fantastic.
It.
I'm here talking to you.
Exactly. About a movie that I watched and scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
So,
doesn't
I mean,
get better than this.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't. Okay, so I've got just some fun stuff that I want to ask you.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to, being that you're from Australia.
Yeah.
from Tasmania,
yes.
actually. Okay, so first off, Holdens or Fords?
Holden.
Holden, okay. Yeah. All right. For those of you out there that are watching and or listening, Holden is a car.
Yeah.
And then you have Fords, which we all know Fords.
Yeah.
But it's kind of one or the other.
Yeah, it is kind of one or the other. I hate to think that I've just alienated this, you know, viewership of Ford drivers, but hey, you got to choose.
Hey, it's all about personal preference, so I'm not going to hold you to that one. All right, death match. All Mel right. Gibson.
Okay.
Russell Crowe. Who are you? Ooh. Mel Gibson. Prime Ooh. Mel Gibson, though. I'm
okay.
talking like Mad Max Mel
yeah,
Gibson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gladiator Russell Crowe. Who are you putting your money on?
Mel.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah. That's a pretty easy one, actually.
Really?
I think so.
I don't know. Russell Crowe's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Well, at least
Mel
he was.
In his prime.
Yeah, this is true. Mad Max was, he was a beast. He was definitely a beast. Okay. I got another one for you.
Okay.
Men at Work, man. Do they deserve to get put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I mean,
I have heard Men at Work more in LA than I hear in Australia. It's on all the time. It's in every Uber.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that, you know, the flag is still flying somewhere.
Hey, man. We definitely appreciate you guys. Vegemite or Marmite?
Oh, probably neither for me, but
okay.
Ooh, controversial. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So do you still live in Tasmania or have you
Yeah, no.
moved
so
more mainland?
I live in Sydney now.
Okay.
I've lived in Sydney for a while. But yeah, I grew up in Launceston in Tasmania. Yeah.
All right. So, do you know where you want to film your next feature?
Look.
Are you still scouting locations?
Yeah, we're not quite scouting locations. Still, you know, trying to set it up. It really depends. You know, it all depends on the financing.
Okay.
You know, how the planets align.
Right.
Where
how
it happens.
Kinda...
Yeah, I have some projects. I have some projects that I'm working on that are very kind of specific to location. So some projects, there's a film I'm working on that's set here in LA, and there's another sort of American project. But then there are others that I think kind of belong in Australia. You know, there's a specificity to it that you know, it deserves to be made there. So it's a little bit dependent on the project, and it's a little bit dependent on financing, because there are some things where you think, well, it could be made here or it could be made there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. How long did it take to make the Killing Ground?
So it's probably 11 years from the time I had that first idea to the time that I stepped out on set, which is now approaching 2 years ago. So it's
okay.
13 years kind of journey to
in
get
the
it
process.
On the
and
screen.
And then how long did you actually how long were you actually filming?
So 29 days with 2 days of pickups.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's quick.
Yeah. And I think the original schedule was 27 days, but we got hammered by rain, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. all right. So there's a lot of directors now that you start to see where they have a lot of different actors that they have that are go-tos.
Yeah.
That, you know, they may have used them in one thing, and then they go ahead and they bring them in on other stuff. Between the shorts that you've done and then Killing Ground,
yeah.
Is there anybody that you plan on bringing back?
Yeah.
And then, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, so Aaron Glenane, who plays Chuck, and Julian Garner, who plays the dad, were actually both in a short film of mine called Hitchhiker that I shot, it was only a few months before shooting Killing Ground.
Okay.
So in that film, so that's kind of my attempt to make the ultimate hitchhiking film.
Right.
You know, and those hitchhiking films are always about kind of two things: the danger of getting into a stranger's car,
right.
Or the danger of letting a stranger into your car.
And
the protagonists or the antagonists are always either an escaped prisoner or a serial killer.
Right.
So in this short, a serial killer picks up an escaped prisoner, and so Aaron Glenane, who plays Chuck, played the escaped prisoner. And Julian, who played the dad, played the serial killer.
Oh, wow.
And he was a great serial killer. And you know what? I would love to have those films on a double bill, except that you would watch Killing Ground and you would just expect the dad to flip out and turn at any minute,
right.
Because of Julian's so great in this other...
Right, in Hitchhiking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, all right, awesome. So make sure you guys check out Hitchhiking. Where could they check that out?
So Hitchhiker isn't available yet, but I'll... probably, look, it'll be online sometime. So I think I'll probably let people know via the Killing Ground Facebook page. So
there you have it. So make sure you're checking for Damian Power, because he's just going to keep dropping us, you know, you know, shorts and movies, and he's just going to keep things coming. Are there any actors that you would like to work with in the future on anything? It doesn't even have to be the next feature that you're working with right now, just... like your dream sheet of actors and talent that you'd like to work with.
Yeah, that's really hard. I mean, there are so many great actors. Look, I think Naomi Watts is fantastic.
Yeah.
She's amazing. Look, there are too many, really, to name. And it always comes down to a role. Like, you start writing a character.
And then someone in mind.
Yeah, and then sometimes that person will come to your mind and then you think it just has to be them.
Right.
on a kind of smaller level, when I was writing Peekaboo, I had in mind an Australian actor called Justine Clarke.
Okay.
And she is a great actor, but she's also a children's entertainer. And so she has these kind of song albums, and she does tours. And at the time, I thought, this is great. I'm going to cast my daughter Esme as the kid, right. And I'll cast Justine because she's a great actor, and Esme loves her, so she will just do whatever Esme says.
Right.
And then, so I gave the script to Justine, and she said yes, which was great, because that was one of those situations where I had her in my head,
right.
And I just didn't have
She's
a plan
this
B.
Character.
She is this character. And then when she said yes, I was like, you know, Justine's this blonde and Esme is this little brunette. And in 10 minutes, they've just got to look right, you
right.
know. They've just got to look like family. So I fired my daughter from, you know, her first role before she even got it. But I figure I think I dodged a bullet, because, you know, she doesn't take direction from me at home. So,
so
the chances
on
set...
Why would you take direction on set?
Yeah. But yeah, sometimes you do get that actor in your head where you think, it's got to be them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Okay, again, everyone, Killing Ground, July 21st in theaters and VOD. Tell the viewers what they can expect when they go to watch Killing Ground.
Yeah, sure. So it's a story about a couple in their late 20s, early 30s, who head out into the bush for a weekend getaway. They drive out to this remote spot. When they get there, they find a car and a tent, but no sign of the occupants. And they decide to stay because, you know, it's a spot that he likes, and it's a long way. And there's room for them, so they pitch their tent and they stay. But when the campers fail to show up, they kind of grow increasingly uneasy. Like, where are these people? What's happened to these people? And then, really, the discovery of a distressed child...
kind of sets things in motion.
And it kind of all goes to hell from there.
and it literally goes to hell from there. Take it from me, this is definitely something that you want to watch. Probably do it with the lights on. I can guarantee that if you had plans before you, when you watch this movie, if you have future plans to go camping, you probably are going to want to reschedule that one. This is definitely a great movie. I definitely appreciate getting the chance to meet you and discuss this awesome film. I'm looking forward to seeing what else you've got coming down the pipeline. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Damian Power.
Thank you so much for having
director
me.
Director and writer of Killing Ground. I'm Chaos J. Where can they find you if they want to keep up with you on social media?
Look, I'm on Facebook. Killing Ground is on Facebook. That's probably the best place. We're posting quite a few updates on that page. We had when the film played at Sundance at one of the midnight screenings, there was a guy, we were watching it, and this guy, it's a great film to see in the cinema too, because people really react,
right?
People get quite vocal, and we were watching it, and this guy, he was on the aisle, and he jumps up out of his seat, and he's kind of dancing around, and like he can't control himself,
right?
And I whispered, "Is he okay?" And afterwards, we caught up with him, and there's a short video interview. Cyrus, I think his name is, with Aaron Glenane,
okay,
our actor who was there, and he was like, "Yeah, I couldn't help it. This guy, he's insane. He's crazy. He's great, but he's crazy."
Right?
And, he was so into it. So, we're posting lots of fun stuff like that, and so
there's a lot of the behind the scenes content
that's coming as well. So yeah,
all right. So check out that page, Facebook Killing Ground, because you're gonna get all kind of great little interviews and things like that, extra features. You're constantly putting up more content, so there's just definitely more stuff coming. I'm sure he's probably a great guy, but I'm still scared of him. The actor that plays German.
Yeah.
Aaron
Pedersen.
Yeah, I want to see more of that guy, but he is scary. Like I said, guys, you guys are in for a treat. July 21st, Killing Ground. This is Chaos J with iTalk Movie. I appreciate you coming and joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And you guys stay tuned. Have a great one. And that concludes our interview.
From the Popcorn Talk Network and producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, and Phil Svitek, this is iTalk Movies. Long-form
producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.